12. It's on page 952 in your Bible, and it's verses 1 to 10. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Goodwill come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast and trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. They have their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The second reading is from Matthew 5, and it's on page 1501 in your pew Bible, and it's verses 13 to 20. And this one is about salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people lighting a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The fulfillment of the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, certainly not into the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God.
Shall we begin by prayer? Gracious Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house, to be here and to be guided by you into understanding your word and your will for us in our lives. Guide us this morning as we study your word. Be with us and touch us and make your presence known among us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't even know if I should talk. Bruce did a wonderful job. I thought we were going to get the sermon right off the bat, and that would be good. Maybe I should just sit down. So our readings this morning, when I first started to read, I got reading that first Psalm 112, where verse 4 it said, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For the gracious and the compassionate and righteous man. How does light dawn for the upright? Who knows? You know, I'm not asking rhetorical questions all the time. Well, as I got looking at this, I got thinking about this. Most of the Psalms we see it as poetry or so. It's a psalm praising God. So in Hebrew poetry, darkness often refers to calamity and light to well-being. So even a good person is going to suffer tragedy, right? We all know that in our lives. But through the tragedy, sometimes we get this light and we get this ray of hope, don't we? that we get this new light that lights up our lives. Well, even in their poetry, so we think about what is he really talking about then when he says, so for gracious and compassionate and righteous men are those who the light dawns, that are upright in heart. Isn't he saying gracious is those who actually seek after God, whose focus is on God? So to be upright, your focus has to be on God now, doesn't it? So the psalmist really in this psalm, one is encouraging us to evaluate ourselves, right, and how we see things. I got help this morning. Sorry. It's all right. I like it. I can use all the help I can get. But are we supposed to be praising him and delighting him? That's what it is to me to be upright in the eyes of God. That's to let the light shine, isn't it? The problem is, we get to be sticks in the mud, don't we? I found out a little story I thought I'd like to share. It was about a granddaughter who had went to her grandparents' house, and she hated going there on Sundays. You know, they were really strict. They thought Sunday ought to be the day of rest. So she'd go there, and you weren't supposed to run. You only could walk if you went somewhere. You couldn't go out in the field and pick the flowers. I mean, they wouldn't let you do anything. It was like you're supposed to rest, to be calm. The only book you're supposed to read is the Bible. And so you pretty much have to sit there most of the day long and like, I don't know about this stuff. So one day when Grandpa was going to take a nap, she comes up and says, Grandpa, do you mind if I go walk down by the fence in the pasture? He said, all right, yeah, sure, you can go, but just walk down there. So she walks down, and she's standing by this fence, and there's an old mule in the fence, behind the fence there, and he's kind of there, and his head is all slumped over, kind of sleeping. She looks at him, just reaches out to pet his head, and says, I'm sorry, you must have religion too. We think about that. Is that the light we're shining? Is that what it is to be upright? Well, I got writing about this, and I got writing all this down. I got thinking, we need to find a way to change our perspective, don't we? And Jesus helps us do that, just like the psalmist did. And Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world that's supposed to shine. How do we do that? How do we change our perspective of how we see religion, how we see coming to church? How do we change that perspective to be the salt and the light? So I got reading about an interesting thing when I was reading for one pastor. He says, yes, this congregation is so when you see light, do you see it as 450? Maybe you see it as 600. Well, how about 700? That would make you scratch your head, wouldn't you? What is he talking about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody? One person, two persons, two people. They probably read my sermon. They did. We're talking about nanometers, right? That's how we see light. So 600 nanometers, or 450 nanometers is blue, 600 is yellow, and 700 nanometers is red. So we don't see in nanometers, do we? We don't focus, and that's all we see. We see in different colors. So say if you saw 550 nanometers, you'd be seeing green. But how we see things, when we think about it in this whole spectrum of things, changes our perspective. It's just like, so if you go out and when the sun comes up in the morning, you see the difference in the sun and how it's the yellows in the sun, or maybe at night when you see the sunset, the brilliance of the sunset goes from orange to red, this change of colors. We need to see our world in that same changing situation, don't we? Isn't that what Jesus was talking about in the salt and light? So he tells us that we're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to shine into the darkness. And I got thinking about this. So when you turn on a light bulb, you know, the light comes on and it not only illuminates what surrounds you, but it illuminates the corners and the crevices. But what else does it illuminate? We turn the light of Christ on in our minds. What does that illuminate? How does that help us? How are we supposed to be able to see others? I think Jesus was teaching us a valuable lesson here. Because he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Well, salt, we know, enhances flavor. And we know that light illuminates things. So how are we supposed to be both? I'll give you an example. So a businessman, he's coming home from work one day. And he normally takes a train. He's in the city and he takes the train out. So he's beat. So he decides and gets on the train. He figures, I got time. I'm closed my eyes. I'll catch me a little nap. So he gets there. He's had a hard day. All of a sudden, these kids are running up and down the aisle, making a racket. They run by him one time, again and again and again. Finally, he's thinking, boy, he's really smart. It's just festering and it's getting to him. He says, why don't them parents control these kids? And he's thinking, all right. He said, finally, he had all he could take. I'm going to go scold whoever in charge of these kids. So he gets up and he sees the dad back there. And he goes back there and he gets right in dad's face and says, you know, you shouldn't let them kids run up and down the aisles like that. They're keeping people awake. Some of us would like to sleep. And he scolds him and he scolds him. The dad looks at him and he shakes. Yeah, I know. He says, you're absolutely right. He says, but you see, we just came from the hospital where their mom died. The kids didn't know how to react. And I don't know how to react. So you're absolutely right, and I should have better control of my children. Please accept my apology. Well, in that moment, that businessman's mind changed because a light turned on. His whole attitude changed because he realized that if whatever happened here changes his perspective, we need to do that in our church, don't we? When we go out from here and when we leave from here, will the light that we gathered here today, the words of God, will we find a way to be salt and light? Will it change our perspective of how we see everything, of the people we see? I think Jesus was trying to tell us here that if we're going to be his light that shines in the darkness, if we're going to be the salt of the earth that actually enhances those around us, we have to see people as Jesus saw them. Think about this. So the whole life of Jesus, every time we read about Jesus, did Jesus ever condemn anybody? No, he didn't, did he? He cured them. Think about it when you leave here. What's our job as disciples of Christ? Are we supposed to condemn people? Or are we supposed to love them? Aren't we supposed to equally shine our light on the things that are going wrong, but do it in a loving manner, to put light on it? Isn't that how we're supposed to be, salt and light? Let me read some of these scriptures for you again that we shared with you today. Let them really sink in. So, if we look at the psalm. So even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and the compassionate and the righteous man. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
The psalmist wrote, praise the Lord, blesses the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. For his heart is secure, and he will have no fear. You need to change your perspective. In our final reading of what we read in the gospel this morning, Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. And anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness passes that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So the big question here today is, when you leave here today, are you going to see others as Jesus did? Maybe your perspective will change. Jesus didn't condemn. Jesus cured. Can we have that same positive attitude? Be that salt and light that when we leave here, we recognize the evil, the sin in the world, but we don't condemn it. We aid in curing it. We aid in shining the light on it, so that God can touch those around us and help us in all things. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how you provide for us. We do ask that you'd bless us this morning. Help us when we leave here today to be salt and light. Be this the light that shines in the darkness. Help us by the salt of our hands and by the way we approach others to enhance their lives. Guide us in all that we do. For in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.